We turn to you now with gratitude and praise. Lead us into a faith filled with action that others might see you.
And please remain standing.
Yes, and we're going to do Give Us Clean Hands to start, and that's based on Psalm 24, 3-6. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob.
Right. Do we have many campers in the congregation? Like the outdoors, people that like the outdoors? Do you ever notice it's not until you after you get back from the vacation that you realize where all the bug bites are? Like, that's where I am right now. Like, I've been at the cabin, and I'm, like, realizing, wow, I've got bug bites in places I didn't realize bugs bit. So it's all good this morning. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
It is so joyful to be here this morning, so joyous to be able to praise the Lord this morning. That was a set of three songs in a row, and that gives you just a glimpse of what it's going to be like in heaven as we sing praises to the Lord. And we just want to extend our sympathies to Glenn this morning, and we know that his mother and father are now united in heaven together, and they're probably up there singing together, and they already had beautiful voices, but now they have even more beautiful voices, and that's what I'm looking forward to the most, to be able to actually sing, and people would be glad for that. So be glad I'm in the front row. But any other joys or concerns you'd like to share? Summer's winding down. The students are getting anxious, I'm sure. They're a little nervous, but they're also a little bit excited because they get to see their friends they haven't seen all summer. So we want to just keep our students and especially our teachers in prayer as they head back to school. And we'll have a little bit of a blessing next week for those students and teachers as well. But just let's keep them in prayer. And I saw on Facebook the volleyball team. That was a pretty big trophy. I'm assuming that was first place or was... Please tell me that wasn't a third place trophy. Okay, wow. It was a beautiful trophy. Congratulations to our church volleyball team. It's so amazing to see the talents that we have here in this congregation. And just continue to show your love and support in this community as we just participate together in who Christ is in our lives. Just simply put your hands in the air and we'll get a microphone to you for joys or concerns.
I want to thank the congregation for all their prayers. My sister did accept the part-time pastoral position in Allentown. And, of course, the big announcement, Amy is home.
Praise
Haven't
God.
Seen her yet. We're picnicking tonight. Also, I'd like to lift up other people who mourn. It's an anniversary date of the birth for our neighbor's husband, who has passed away, and I couldn't understand why she didn't accept my invitation for today, but he popped up on Facebook, and now I truly understand. I already sent her a message this morning. So sometimes we kind of remain insensitive to the things that are going on in other people's lives, so my suggestion is sometimes we need to tune in. So, all in all, it's been a very good week.
I'd like us to pray for Kenneth Wenger, who had a pacemaker installed this week.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we just thank you for this new morning that you have given us. This morning that is fresh in new mercies, that is renewing us by your grace, that's allowing us to extend our faith through action to others by loving, by serving, by working hand in hand, by knowing each other and what's happening in our lives. And we just especially want to just pray for the Regal family this morning, Lord, that you would just bless them in just a mighty way, that they would know your comfort, they would know your peace, they would know your grace in a real way this morning. And we just thank you that that grace is sufficient for each of us as we go through many different trials in our lives, as we face different circumstances. We know that your grace is sufficient. And we just thank you, Father, for loving us. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to praise you this morning, and that's something we can do every single day as we go to work, as we go about our daily business, is praise you through the way we speak, the way we act. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can praise you every moment of every day. We thank you, Father, for the comfort you give us as we go through various procedures. We lift up Kenny this morning and a freshly installed pacemaker, Lord, we ask that it would function as it should function, as we pray for everyone here this morning that's had any type of procedure done, Lord, that you would just continue to utilize that modern technology, that modern science that you have given us, and the medicine that we're able to take, Lord, that helps in conjunction with your healing touch. And we just thank you, Lord, for just being with us as we go through each phase of our lives. We know each chapter is different, but we know, Lord, you are with us through every single chapter. And we just thank you, Lord, this morning for the Bryant family, and continue to lift up Daniel in a mighty, powerful way. And Greg and Sarah and Lauren, Lord, just bless them, Lord. Allow them to know your incredible love. Allow them to know your incredible peace, and just continue to journey with them. But, Lord, we do pray for your touch upon Daniel, that these seizures would just cease, and miraculously that they would no longer exist. And we just praise you, Father, for just being with the Bryant family and those that continue to reach out to them, Lord. We just pray that we would just allow them to know our love in a real way. We think of Carl Graby this morning and continue to lift him up and just ask that you would sustain his life. You would give him strength each day, Lord, and you would be with Louise and the family, Lord, as they gather with him, Lord, and just allow him to know our love in a real way as well, Lord. And we just thank you for Kenny Ziegler and for Ruth Keeney, and we thank you for John Kaufman's brother Mel, and we just thank you for each person gathered here this morning. Lord, you know what baggage we have brought to church, and we just want to drop that baggage off at the cross. And we want to say we don't want to deal with that any longer, but we know that often that baggage continues to be upon our back. It continues to be a burden. But this morning, Lord, we want to just cast that burden upon you, and we just want to take upon your yoke, which is much easier. But Lord, we know that can be very difficult, so we pray through your Holy Spirit you would help us, you would lead us, you would guide us to be able to just set down that baggage, set down whatever it is we're dealing with right now, and just trust you and trust in your plan, which we know is perfect and pleasing. But Lord, thank you again for gathering us here together safely. We think of our sister church, Richland Church of the Brethren. We know, Lord, they're seeking a pastor right now in the search process, and just pray you would bless their congregation as they go through that and allow them to continue to be united and be about your business as they continue to just worship you and be with each person there at Richland this morning and every Christian church around this denomination. We do pray, Lord, against the enemy's schemes. We know that he's active and tries to destroy the plans that we often have, but Lord, we just pray against the enemy in Jesus' name and ask that you would allow us to continue to be free, to continue to have liberty, continue to know what it's like to have peace in our lives. So Father, if any activity by the enemy is happening in anyone's life this morning, we just cast it out and just trust you, Jesus, to lead us and to guide us. Thank you again for this morning, to be able to worship you and to know you more. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, our next song is Friend of God, and it's based on three scripture verses, and I'm utilizing it as well as for our offertory thought. The scripture verses I'm referencing is John 15:13-15. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we adore you and praise you this morning, and thank you so much for all of the blessings that we have. May we look around us in the world and the community here and see what our friends need. May you bless our offerings as we give this morning to help those friends around us in our community and in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
True that you are there.
Hi, we want to invite the children to come forward this morning, if there's any children here this morning. Good morning, good morning. I always feel like a pop star when I hold a microphone. You want to feel like a pop star for a second? You know? It's surreal. It's almost like Justin Bieber. You don't even know who Justin Bieber is, do you? Not really. What about Shawn Mendes? Do you know Shawn Mendes? No? Wow, your parents are doing a really great job. Ask my kids if they know who they are. Do you know who Shawn Mendes is? Oh, praise God. See, this is cool. You guys are parenting these children in such a way secular music is not influencing their lives. Where's LaShane at? LaShane, come on, man. I need my soccer player. Where's he at? Everyone start chanting, LaShane, 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 LaShane. Is he asleep back there? He was shy this morning. He lives, eats, and sleeps soccer. Are there anybody else in the congregation that does that? They like, soccer's like kind of Topi's thing. Well, this morning what I want us to think about, do you ever hear the word faith before? Faith? What would you define faith as? What do you think faith is? Do we have faith in things? Right? What might we have faith in? Faith in God? Very good. Best answer as always. Faith in Jesus? Another excellent answer. Right? What about, do you think everyone out here drives a car? Some sort of automobile? Do you think they have faith in that automobile? It's going to start every day? Now, if they drive a Chevy, it's a lot more faith than others. Just kidding. That was bad. I'm sorry. But we have faith in things, right? We have faith in people. Like you have faith in mommy and daddy that they're going to come through for you each day. So we have faith in a lot of things. Now, I want you to imagine, this is going to be hard to imagine, but let's imagine the soccer ball is faith. Now, what can you tell me about the soccer ball? What shape is it? A spear. Whoa. A spear, correct. It's round. Yeah, it's a spear. Wow. What grade she in? What else about the soccer ball? Can you tell me about its colors? It has some red in it. It has some purple. Yeah. You know what that logo stands for? Nike. Okay. Nike. And their slogan. Do you know Nike's slogan? Nike's slogan is just do it. Okay. So if we have faith, but we don't, let's just go there for a second. Gail, it's okay. We're going to just do it with our faith. Okay. So if the soccer ball just sits here, doesn't do anything, is it acting? Is it performing? Is it like doing something? No, it's just existing, right? So we can have faith alone. Okay. Faith is very important. We need to have faith, but our faith needs to go in action. Okay. So what I was going to have LaShane do is like kind of dribble it down through there. So just imagine like that's LaShane. And he's invisible right now, but look how well he kicks the ball. Like, it's going all sorts of different places. So the soccer ball needed to be put into action in order to do what it was, its purpose was to do. Okay, so as Christians, we have faith. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus. But what if we never acted upon that? What if we never loved anybody else? What if we never served anybody else? Is that faith really, is that a strong faith? You have faith. But it's so much more important to show faith to others. So this morning, as you think about ways to just do it, to make that soccer ball move, to make your faith move, think of ways that you can act in others' lives. You're going to hear a really cool scripture from the book of James this morning that we can see things in the world. Like we might see, you know, Kenny over there, he's hungry. He hasn't caught a fish in a while. But like we could say, oh, well, I hope everything goes well with you. But like we could actually bring him food. Would that be our faith in action? Are you on the same path as me now? So what would be another one? Can you think of another one? Our faith in action. What do you think? Let's go to school for a little bit. What could you do at school? Put your faith in action. Right. Do you know how humiliating it is to drop your books? I didn't drop my books. I dropped my lunch tray. And you know what I did? I just left the lunch tray there and I ran because I was so embarrassed. I'm like, are you serious? I'm an eighth grader and I dropped my lunch tray. But it happens. But there were people that came right away to help me pick up my lunch tray, but I was too embarrassed. But yeah, to help with picking up books, because you guys have a lot of books to carry, don't you? And you can't even use a backpack. So by putting your faith in action, you're showing others what your faith is all about, that you believe in Jesus and you want to help other people. So that goes for all of us here. That's just not children. That's adults as well. So it's important to have faith, to believe in God, to believe in Jesus, but it's also important for us to put that faith into action. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for the faith that we have. We believe in you, Lord. We trust in you. We know that you're with us, but we know, Lord, that you too call us to put our faith in action, that faith that's inside of us to put outside of us, that others might be able to see our faith and to know our faith and to want to believe in the same God we believe in because of our faith. So help these children as they go through their daily lives to know you and to be able to show others in very real ways what their faith looks like. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Let's pray. Lord, we just now turn to your word. We turn to the book of James, and we know this morning we're speaking of faith. We're speaking of what faith looks like in action, what it looks like in our lives. And we just pray that our faith would be extremely strong this morning, because as we trust in you, as we face each day, Lord, we know that that faith allows us to get through some very trying things. So this morning, we just open your word. We ask that you would allow it to speak to us in whatever particular way you would allow it to speak to us this morning. May it move us. May it change us. May it allow us to leave this place different. And we just praise you, God, for being here this morning with us, for loving us, for giving us this opportunity to share together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as always, we want to invite you to turn to, in your Bibles, to James chapter 2. We are in verses 14 to 26. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. And I know you've stood this morning for three opening songs, but if you're able, let's stand and read God's word together. Now remember, this isn't just any word. This is an authoritative word. This is God's word. It comes with life-changing power. So as we read this word together, allow it to soak into your core, into your being, to allow it to permeate who you are and what, as a result, you do because of it. Let's read together. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Lord, we pray your word. would speak to us this morning. It would cause a change within us, and this world would see that change by the way our faith acts in the deeds that we do. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's a very familiar name to us, Martin Luther. Anyone ever hear of him before? He was known as a famous German reformer. And Martin actually wanted to rid the Bible of the book of James because of this very specific passage. Needless to say, as you just read together aloud, he did not win that argument. Now, we've all been there in the middle of an argument, and suddenly it dawns on us that no matter what we say, no matter what we do, we're never going to win that argument. It's not because they've used reason and logic to secure their victory, but simply because they always need to be right. There's a story told that when all you have is bigger friends, you often can get into arguments, but there's only one that really works when it says, who's the biggest among us? And so what these bigger guys do is get in a bus, they go to Disney World, and they get on a roller coaster. Whoever gets the least amount of clicks on the safety bar has won the argument, who's the biggest? Now, I totally understand that arguing can be frustrating, especially when both sides seem to be right. So friends, here's our question. James is trying to answer, what is the nature of genuine faith in Christ? In other words, what does it look like? What effect does it have on our lives? James says faith in the fact that there is one God is good, but it's not all that remarkable. He goes on and says it puts you on par with demons. In fact, demons might be a little bit ahead of us because when they think of God, they shudder. Now, how many of you lately have shuddered when you thought about God? Friends, if our belief in God doesn't result in godly actions, then what we're saying is our faith is essentially dead. Francis Chan gives us a great illustration. He says that body and breath go together. A body without breath is merely a corpse. James says it's the same thing with faith and works or deeds. So the bottom line for us this morning is we need to stop trying to rip them apart from one another. When faith is genuine, it will result in good works. We trust that the power of the Holy Spirit will give us the motivation to seek ways to show our faith. You see, friends, the love of God fills our hearts. It doesn't just fill our hearts, it fills our hearts to overflowing. So then when we respond to the needs of those around us, we never have to worry about God's love not being available. You know, I was at a fair. How many of you have a game addiction when you go to the fairs? You like to play skee ball, or you like to play some of the different dart games, things like that. Well, I have a son. He's probably asleep because he's had a long week. But he likes to play skee ball. And so we collect a change jar. Anyone have a change jar in their house? And are you ever mesmerized by how much change, like dollar bills you actually get from that little bit of change that's in the jar? So our change jar ended up being $39. And so LaShane got to play skee ball and some other games at the fair. But think about God's love like that change jar. What do we have to do in order to receive any money from that change jar? We have to deposit into it, don't we? If you never put a single coin into that change jar, you can't expect to take it to the bank and cash it in for any amount of dollars. But when we think about God's love, he never stops depositing that love into us. So those deposits can always be withdrawn. They can always be spent on others. Let me say that again. God's love is continually being deposited into your lives. And that love can always be withdrawn, and it can be spent on others. You're never going to run out of God's love. You know, it's a beautiful process of loving, of serving others' needs. Now, it's easy with this passage. We could spend an entire week debating it theologically about whether faith or works is more important. But friends, can we just simply say the argument isn't worth debating? That true faith, in fact, will change us. It will result in action. Anybody here this morning willing to put their hand in the air and say, I've been changed by the blood of Jesus? Look around the sanctuary. There are hands in the air. People that have faith in God, that have trusted God, and they've seen the change in their lives. So the question we ask ourselves this morning, if we're not seeing a lot of that change, that's not a signal that we don't trust in God. It's a signal that perhaps we're ready to take our faith to the next level, to act upon it, to be able to be willing to say to the Holy Spirit, yes, I'm willing to meet that need. And there's so many needs. We don't need to be wealthy in order to hand money to people. It could be as simple as a hot dog to someone who's homeless that hasn't eaten for a while. It could be as simple as a handshake and say, brother, I love you, and praying for that person. Because we all realize the power of prayer. We realize how God is at work when we're praying for one another. So when faith is flowing, we realize the two are inseparable. Think of it like this. Plants grow. Am I right? That's what they're supposed to do? Plants grow. Fruit trees bear fruit. Is that what they're supposed to do? We all agree? People with genuine faith in Christ put out the fruit of good works. Now, James is not saying, this is where your eyes need to be on me. James is not saying we earn salvation by doing good. He's rather saying a fruitless faith is pointless. It's worthless. It's not really faith at all. Chan will give us a few more insights here. We need to note the subtle difference between believing that and believing in. Believing that and believing in. You could talk to many of your friends and they would say that they believe that God exists. Am I right? But the demons even believe that. Trusting, believing in Christ is the key. And there's a difference. If we believe that God exists, we can go on with our lives. But if we believe in God and we trust in God, it's going to result in a relationship. And we know that relationships change us. And when you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, it changes us in such a way that we can love even those that are difficult to love. When we believe in our powerful Lord, like Abraham and Rahab did, we find that our faith is confirmed by our actions. So here's our challenge this week: to walk the talk. Spend some time with God, especially regarding your own faith. Do you have faith with works or faith without works? But then I want you to go a step further. We have Christian friends. And I want you to ask one of your Christian friends, do you see evidence in my life of my faith? And then together with that friend, I want you to ask God, together, as you both pray aloud to God through the Holy Spirit, to give you power to put your faith in action. So the ultimate question we ask ourselves this morning, is our faith more on the inside? Is our faith more on the outside? Now, what I need us to realize this morning, that both are good. Both are good. Both are important. But if we only feel our faith and we don't show it, there's a balancing concern. It's entirely possible. We've seen it in many individuals as we've journeyed through our faith, that we're all about doing things for God. And doing things for God is fantastic, but if we're balanced that direction, that's all we do is continually doing good things for God, and we don't spend time in personal growth, what's our faith really like? Bob Saget may have been onto something. He says that people argue over who's right, but not always about what the truth really is. So today I pray, as you've heard about faith, as you've heard about deeds, that you may know the truth of God's word. The praise team is going to come forward. Those deacons involved in our anointing service this morning are going to come forward. And we're going to ask you to take a step of faith. This is going to require every single one of you to either stand at the end of your aisle to come forward to be anointed, or to remain where you are if you don't feel comfortable coming to be anointed. And together, let's make a statement. Because when we're anointed, we realize that, you know, there's sometimes things in our lives that block us. Sometimes things in our lives that get in the way of really putting our action forward. So maybe there's sin in our lives. We need to repent. We need to confess. We need to say to God, you know what? I'm letting this go. Maybe there's illness. Maybe there's suffering. Maybe there's something that you're dealing with on a daily basis that, you know, I'd love to go serve. I'd love to be able to go act on God's behalf, but I really just don't have the strength to do that. So you'll come forward to be anointed for that. But we're going to do this as a unison act of faith together. Deacons on each side. I'll be in the center. And we're going to anoint each of you and have a prayer at the end. So I invite the first pew, if you'd be willing, to step out in faith and come forward, and everyone follow. And we'll come through the center and exit back out through the side aisles. And everyone be anointed this morning, and we'll have a closing prayer for that anointing.
Says, tears of
there's anyone at this time that wasn't able to make their way forward that would like us to come to them, if you just want to put your hand in the air, we'll be glad to bring the anointing oil to you. Anyone not able to make it forward that would like to be anointed? Put your hand in the air. All right, let's pray. You guys, deacons, want to come up with me? If you can join hands with the person sitting next to you, as we've been anointed, we've felt the Spirit fall upon this place in a very mighty way. And we know that what we're going through, whatever it is we're facing right now, that Holy Spirit will give us comfort. We know that Holy Spirit will empower us. And we know, Lord, there are those within this congregation that are struggling right now. They're dealing with some very difficult things, and they've come to be anointed, not only to be unified as a body of Christ, but, Lord, to be free of what they're facing. And, Lord, we know the power that your Holy Spirit has, and we just pray for that freedom to set those individuals free that are dealing with any type of illness, that are facing difficult situations, that are wondering what could possibly be next. Lord, we just ask that your Spirit would move in a powerful way, that you would touch them in a mighty way, that they would know an incredible, indescribable peace. We know, Lord, that your anointing is upon each of us, and we know that you have called us through our faith to do incredible things in this world. And Lord, we are doing many things, but Lord, you're calling us to even more, that this community might know our faith by our love and our actions. So whatever it is this morning that we're going through, know that you've been anointed, that change might occur in your life, that your sins are forgiven, that you've been set free, that you've come to be anointed to say that we are one, that we are friends of God, that we are children of God, and that we are brothers and sisters. And we know, Lord, that you have an incredible work for this church to do and each of us to do. So thank you, Lord, for this anointing service, to be able to come before you and to be able to say yes to what it is you're asking us to do. But Lord, we do pray for those special circumstances where we're asking your Spirit to move, to set people free from illness, from the guidance they need, to give them what they are looking for, and for anything else, Lord, as we anticipate what this day holds, we know that you indeed are always with us. So thank you, God, for meeting us in this place and giving us this opportunity to pray together, to share an anointing service together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Join us in singing hymn number 142, Brothers and Sisters of Mine.
as we go forth this day, may we experience the transformation, the change in our lives that God has brought forth. May we sense a newness in our lives to go forth and to do things for others that reluctantly before we may not have done. May we go in power, in faith, trusting the Lord goes with us, for we know that He does. May our love be evident to all. Amen.